I've often said I never thought that cultural deterioration could be reversed.
Yeah.
Until Donald Trump. It seems like successively last 15, 20 years, things have just degraded to the point that anything goes. And I didn't think you could put that back. And yet we see all of these signs that something's not huge, but something significant is afoot. Like take Gen Z, for instance. Their church going has tripled. Mm-hmm. Previous generations.
Yeah.
It's going up, not down, up. There's all these little signs all over the place. I'm fascinated by this. Here's another one, 14 points. Not 14%, 14 point swing in the percentage of the population in the last 4 years that have gone from, well, you know, I think it's okay if men who think they're women play sports on women's teams too. You know what? This is a bad idea. Trump is stuffing it back in the bottle. I didn't think you could do that with cultural issues.
Yeah.
We just had another stunning poll end of week. The most Republican generation of men, of all of them, when you stack them up, boomers, Generation X, Generation, you know, the millennials, all of that is Gen Z. Mm-hmm. They are the first generation in my lifetime. Normally, when you're 18 to 29, men, women, doesn't matter. The majority identifies as Democrat.
Right.
Men move into their 30s and 40s, they become Republican, the majority. But in their, 18 to 29, they're Democrat. Not with this generation. They're majority Republican, the most conservative Republican generation among the men that we have seen.
Well, when you consider what the Democrat Party and media have done to try to demonize young men,
yeah,
middle-aged men, old men, men period, or anybody who identifies as male, what do you expect?
Now this, I didn't think, this has been a straight down plunge with no good news since 1970. Do you realize in 1970, Lee, 85% of children lived with married parents?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two parents in a home.
Mm-hmm.
What a difference that makes. 85% straight down plunge. By 1980, it was 75% lived with married parents. By the year, dear, a little before 2000, it was 69. It dipped to 64 in 2012. For the first time, the percentage of kids living in a home with two married parents is going up. This has not happened since the 1970s. Mm-hmm. So it hit an all-time low of 64% around 2012. And we just got the numbers for 2024. We don't know 25 yet. It went up by 2 points. Now, I don't know why people are staying together, but I think this is fantastic. And look, I'm going to bottom line it for you. When, if you're married and you've got an empty nest and it's just miserable, it's not working out, then, I can see doing what you do for yourself. But when your spouse is your kid's parent, you know what you do? You suck it up. Maybe you can be roommates for a while. That's what you do. Now, if somebody's beating somebody, obviously there's violence or something, and then you need to get out, right, for the kids. But, I mean, I am watching a family that my kids grew up and were friends with their kids go through a divorce, and it's gut-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole idea, one of the children, it doesn't matter who, is carrying, or she's little, is carrying around a picture of her dad.
Mm. Yeah.
He's not there. And here's the thing. We know them very well. He's a very good dad.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's just she carries the picture around during the week he's not there. He has him every other week. But still, so he's trying. It's not that. But it's that is the damage. You rip your family apart. One of the all-time coolest text I ever got on the text line brought tears to my eyes. I still choke up talking about it. It was this guy. And he gave me his liberation date. And it was the date he's going to leave his wife on the text line. And it was the day his last child finished school and went to college. He all worked out when that date was going to be. She had cheated on him. Badly, in a humiliating way. And he said, I refuse to leave my children. And I will not leave my children. And I'm staying right here in my house. And we are staying together. And he said, when he's gone, I'm going to leave. But I'm staying here. And this was hard. And he had years left, Lee.
Yeah.
And it was the most unselfish thing I think I've ever heard. And you could tell he was struggling. He was very angry and very bitter, as he had a right to be. Mm-hmm. So, and I, if you're divorced, look, I get it. There has been a mentality in our society of easy, no fault divorce. And it's even gotten to the point where, well, we just, you know, we're not as in love as we used to be. Maybe we should go seek happiness. No, no, the kids come first. And I mean, somebody got to deliver that message. I'm going to deliver it. That's morality. Well, you know, do what you want. You should be happy. Life is short.
Yeah, it is.
It is. You know what? It's not about you anymore.
Right.
Exactly. Not when you have kids.
Yes. When you have made the choice.
Yeah.
To bring children into the world, that's your responsibility.
Yeah. And like I said, look, if once they're out of the house, if you're, if you know, you do what you want to do. But yeah, you don't tear your family apart.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting for my children to watch a torn apart family. And they grieve for their friends over the, it is actually, the divorce has hurt them because they see the pain their friends are in.
Yeah.
And the damage it does the family. And we act like a society, well, you know, we move on, blended families. And people do. I don't want you to feel bad if that's you. Please don't misunderstand. But we have got to change this message.
Yeah.
You need two parents in a home. People need a dad, and he needs to be there, not every other week, but every night.
Yeah. And I think a lot of what you see with the bad behavior of children, whether it's in school or out on the streets or whatever, is directly attributable to the lack of a two-parent home that they're
yeah.
growing up in. You know, both boys and girls need a mother and a father in a home.
Yeah, they do.
And they need to be, you know, engaged in their education, in their rearing, in their psychological development, their sociological development. They should also be involved in their theological development, but that's a choice that you, some people choose not to make. Or, and of course, if you, as the Rush song says, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
You have. And when you get to divorce, a lot of people don't think of this because, again, that liberal mentality, well, you know, if you're not happy, blah, blah. Well, here's the thing. Guess who's going to be raising your kids half the time? Whoever mom's new boyfriend is, whoever dad's new girlfriend is, whatever crazy ideas they have.
Yeah.
That's in your house. Crash and I were talking about this the other day. I was like, you do not leave that house. You do not. I don't care how miserable you are. It's about your kids. That's what you do. And he agreed with me, having watched the pain this is causing. And it's, you know, I don't mean this in a bad way at all. It's just, it's interesting to watch what it's doing to the kids and how it, I mean, there is a, and the price the kids pay is never talked about. It's just, well, it's your relationship. Well, it's not a relationship. It's a family. That's what it is. So I probably made a lot of enemies this morning. I don't want you to feel bad if you have done this, because this has been the mentality
right.
of our society. Yeah. And it's easy to embrace mentalities like that because everybody does it. It's thought to be the norm. But we need to rethink this and go in the opposite direction. And, you know, I got to tell you, Lee, here's the thing. I have, I had a girlfriend one time say to me, like, you know, she's like, my kids are out of control. How are your kids? Are yes, ma'am, no, sir. You know, okay, right away. And they're so well behaved. How is that? You know, she asked me, what are you doing? I'm like, and I'd like to tell you I did it, but I didn't. That was my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they obey me because they're afraid of him. I'm
yeah.
good cop.
Yeah.
I'm the one they come to, mom, I broke the thing. Can you help me just sweep it up and put it in the trash can so dad doesn't see? Okay. If it was just me. I have very strong-willed children. Would they run me over? Probably.
Yeah.
There's a balance there, and I really appreciate it having raised kids with my husband. That he is. I mean, he's the iron fist.
Well, you have to have a good relationship with your children, but there has to be discipline.
Yeah.
You cannot just let kids do whatever they want to do. They have to learn discipline, self-discipline, and that requires a mother and a father. And if you know, in some cases, it's mom that's the enforcer. Some cases, it's dad that's the enforcer. But that enforcer has got to be there. That has to be a part of what goes on in rearing those children. Or you are just pushing them into a miserable life.
And there's that beautiful sort of yin and yang balance there, too, of, you know, with my husband's always like, you know, he's not Johnny on the spot. He's not getting it done. He needs to have some hustle. Go get those dishes done. And I'm like, well, okay, but have you seen his grades for the last quarter? Like, let's, you know, let's temper this. Let's moderate this a little. You know, it can't be all fist and beat down. And you know what I mean? And I'm arguing the other side, and we really have a very nice balance
yeah.
of what we don't want to go too far. You yeah. know what I'm saying here? But we do want to maintain the discipline. And
yeah.
you just can't get that as easily without having a parent in the home. And I know a lot of times a single mom, like my daughter, you know, my sister did that, and she chose to have the baby. That was very heroic and incredibly hard because she was so young, and I admire the heck out of that, and good for her, and I'm so glad she did. But she has had her struggles that come from not having both parents. So if we can just reestablish the norm that, hey, the expectation in our society is, you know, at all costs, try to have that two-parent family. Try to have dad in the home. Try to have mom in the home.
Yeah. Make the effort.
Yeah. Have that be the goal, not, well, if you're not happy in your relationship and you've fallen out of love, that's not good enough. Not good enough to get a divorce. It's just not. And we got to get that mentality back of, we get married to form families, not we get married so that we can live the romantic dream that we saw on Netflix. You know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's been the deal.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. So I'm going to go to the text line and get my spanking now, because yes. I'm going to be in big trouble.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going to be in big trouble. And please, I'm not criticizing if you got divorced. Right, this is the mentality of our society, but we need to change it going forward and stick it out a little better as a society. Wow, are people divided right down the middle on the text line? I knew that would happen. Texter writes, hey, Tira, we had a pastor who instructed the congregation that divorce is so damaging for the children that only abuse is worse. Don't stop telling your audience that. Wow, okay, this one's tough. See, and I admire this person because I don't know that I could do this. My husband messed around on me years ago. We're still together, and I love him more than ever. I made him go to counseling, but my main concern was our children. This year will be 44 years. Wow. Okay, because my mentality would be, I'm going to stick it out for the kids till I, you know, they leave the house, but I don't know if I can stay with a cheating spouse. You did. That's a forgiving heart. Texter writes to add to my last message, I'm 41, never been married, have my own everything. I've raised my son alone for 9 years since his mom thought meth was more important. He says it can be done by one parent. He says I'm raising him to be a strong man. I believe that. I do. I do believe that. But also after watching my sister to struggle to do it alone, she had to move back in with my parents to really get the full, I mean, she just could not handle work and all the parent stuff alone well. She could do it, but she couldn't do well. But some people can, but I think it's really hard. Texter writes, good morning, Taryn Lee. As a 28-year veteran elementary school teacher and the daughter of divorced parents, I wholeheartedly agree with all you said. Another texter writes, I have long maintained that divorcing parents should be required to maintain a house for the kids while the parents move in and out. I think the divorce rate would drop dramatically. Another texter, this is a separate texter. As a teacher, I want to express my gratitude to those parents who stick through the hard times and provide proper discipline to their kids. Believe me, it makes such a difference to behavior in the classroom. Might be less teachers quitting premature if all parents did this. And again, we're talking about the very good news this morning. That for the first time since 1970, the divorce rate is declining and the percentage of kids living in the two-parent home where their parents are married is up. By a lot. Hit an all-time low of 64. It's back up to 66 and climbing. I think people are starting to realize that message our society gives you. And this, you know what this really gets to for me that grates me the most? It's this idea of divorcing because you're not in love anymore. When you have kids, are you crazy? When, you know, it's not that you can't get along and it's become so miserable you can't coexist, you're fighting all the time. It's not even that. It's just, oh, we're not in love, so we're going our separate way. There's children. You're their family. But this is what society has sold people, that this is okay, and it's not okay. Texter writes, Tira, my wife and I are helping our daughter raise our grandchildren because their selfish dad chose to chase happiness and left the family. You are 100% correct. Their lives will never be the same because one parent chose his own pleasure over the welfare of his children. Texter writes, Tara, my parents divorced in 1983 when I was 8. Luckily, I eventually gained two step-parents who were amazing people. I was an exception, not the rule. Yeah, you know, on the other side, my husband's father died when he was about 3, and his stepdad eventually partially raised him. Wonderful stepfather. And Jack was a wonderful grandparent to my kids. They didn't learn until recent years that he's not even biologically their grandfather. We just thought it would complicate things if we told them. They have the most wonderful, loving memories of him, and I'm so grateful for him. And they call him grandpa because he's their grandpa, but he's their step-grandfather. So I don't want people to feel like, well, you know, step – no. There are wonderful people who are step-parents and step-grandparents. I'm very grateful for his influence on their life. He was a great man. Texter writes, Tara, Trump's policies are literally saving our country. Strong military, strong border protection. This is how an empire stays an empire. Now we need to eradicate the people who endorse the real unrest. Another texter writes, Tara, people just can't afford to live alone these days. That's why they're not divorcing. You know what I say? Good. Work it out. As long as you got kids in the house, you work it out. Unless there's abuse there. Texter writes, Tara, I hope you are now carrying a gun with you and hiking with your daughter or family. We always do. My husband's worry is that we will not be able to get to it fast enough. Texter writes, Tara, I'm not sure. I'm sure you're not including spouses that are purple. I think that must be a misspelling. That are purple and emotionally abusive to their families. It's one thing to just fall out of love for somebody. It's another thing to put up with years and years of emotional and verbal abuse that denigrates the children and the spouse to the point of, and that trails off. I'm sorry. Yeah. And that's a difficult line. I understand the emotional abuse part. I get it. It can get bad and every parent knows the line. Texter writes, good morning, Tara. It is, on the other hand, very important for kids to see a healthy relationship. Sometimes divorce is the best way out. Well, okay, here's what I would tell you about that from my own life. I disagree. Now, an abusive, emotionally abusive relationship, I see what you're saying. It is a fine line there. However, as what I've seen, not just in my own marriage, but also in friends' marriages. I had a good friend who's older than me, significantly older than me. And before I ever got married, she was telling me one time about the absolute low her and her husband had hit and how miserable they were. And it was horrible. I had no idea they'd ever been through that. I said, why didn't you get a divorce? She's like, well, that's how marriage goes, ups and downs. And why it shocked me was they were so happy when I met them. I couldn't believe they'd ever had a low like that. And I learned a lot from that because I was like, wow, okay. So when you get to a low that low, you can come back up. She's like, yeah, you can. Because we did eventually. We went through a terrible period. He lost his business. I lost my job. We were broke. I was pregnant. I mean, it was, oh my gosh, a stress-a-palooza. Everything that could go wrong did. Got down to our last dollar of our savings. It was just, I mean, and that whole time, what she said rung through my ears, you know, hey, this is the low, but believe me, it comes back. And it does. It's a cycle. So what do you teach your kids? They see it the low, they see it come back. Our kids did. There's a lesson there. There's a lesson from seeing rock bottom, as ugly as rock bottom is, in a family with all the stresses that you can have. So I'm going to gently disagree with that. That's kind of the societal mentality. Well, they should see a healthy relationship. There's never going to be a relationship without yelling, screaming, and tearing each other apart occasionally. It's how you handle that, come back from it, and learn to love each other. That's what they learn from. Y'all, fake news is working overtime to keep their sheeple dumb, weaponized, enraged. There are certain things that cannot be told, like what just happened. Good for FBI Director Kash Patel, who has found a trove of sensitive and classified Russia hoax documents. You know, with the real intel showing that Hillary Clinton committed a crap ton of crimes. I remember how James Comey said, well, we checked over the weekend. We went through all the classified emails. And maybe there were some of them was a little illegality, but no reasonable prosecutor. We didn't find anything big. They did. To hide her crimes, they classified it. Felony after felony after felony after. We'll just hide the crimes with classification. Why not? It's what we do for Democrats. In the burn bag. Yes, there's this thing called a burn bag. Didn't know. Neither did Kash Patel, but there were people inside the FBI who knew where the documents were hidden. In a secret skiff. Basically, this is a room behind locked door after locked door in the Hoover building. Known only to top level FBI executives, basically, you'd call it, ranking officers inside the Hoover building. Inside the room in burn bags, it's the backbone of the Russia collusion hoax. It's like something out of a movie. What's in those bags? Well, the real intelligence. Durham's annex, classified stuff. The real intelligence that says the opposite of everything they told us for years. Namely, Russia wanted Trump to win. Lie. Russia hacked the DNC server to get damaging emails to embarrass Hillary. Lie. They actually knew that didn't happen. That's in there. Russia colluded to influence the election. No, lie. Were there even any Russian bots? No, lie. When you lie like that, you got to hide it. I'm amazed they didn't burn these documents. I would have. The documents hidden in a burn bag that Kash Patel was never supposed to find reveal that the intelligence community discovered through foreign intelligence sources that the FBI was going to play a role in spreading the Russia collusion narrative in partnership with the criminal Hillary Clinton. And I say that because just 3 weeks before, they had discovered her jaw-dropping number of felonies on those 8 thumb drives. She was removing classified data on thumb drives. She's not even supposed to be able to see it except inside a compartmentalized room. That's how classified this data is. She's walking out with thumb drives. Felony after felony after felony after felony. So they went, oh, no. And they classified her crimes. Then they turn around. She brought them the Steele dossier and they faked the Russia collusion hoax. Who's they? FBI and CIA. Now, here's where it gets crazy. The CIA's foreign sources, informants, warned them from other countries. This is intel from other countries. Hey, we're hearing that the FBI is going to fake the Russia collusion hoax. Hillary's involved. You might want to know that, you know, your FBI director's crooked. And they were telling the CIA this. They found it in the burn bags. Now, what the foreign informants and sources did not know was the CIA was in on the crooked plot too. And so we had foreigners, listen to this, in our intel before the Russia collusion hoax launched, warning us, this is how closely they watch us. Hey, your FBI director's crooked. He's teaming up with Hillary to fake the Russia collusion hoax. Well, what they didn't know was the real originator was John Brennan, head of the CIA, and they were talking to the CIA. And right after that intel that they have now, they did. They faked the Russia collusion hoax. So folks, our allies know how full of crap we are. What a rotten nation we are in terms of our intelligence apparatus. And they watched the whole fake thing. So fake. So fake. So unbelievably fake. Now, is the main thing, this is bombshell stuff. I mean, this is Watergate level. So how's the media handling it? They're not covering it. The burn bag story was a bombshell, broke yesterday. And they blocked it out. Nothing. ABC, CBS, NBC, not a word. Not even Univision or Telemundo. So you're weaponized with ignorance to the point you're practically stupid. Liberal friends, some of them are all over my feeds, go, it's not true. It's fake. And Tulsi faked it. They don't even know what they're talking about. Blacked out. Major bombshell by Fox News Digital. Now, here's what's crazy. Remember the at the top, as I'm looking at Newsbusters right now, what Newsbusters does is monitor the liberal media and their lies. At the height of the Russia collusion hoax, an average of 2/3 of the stories on mainstream media were Russia collusion related. 2/3 of your average newscast. Think about that. Lies, propaganda and lies. At that point, folks, this is not a story. This is not a lie. This is not a hoax. This is our intel communities creating fake realities of terror because the left was terrified. So were some on the right. I mean, Russia was launching a coup. They were coming after democracy. We narrowly escaped the coup. Putin is painted as a Hitlerian dictator, and he's working through this man, Trump. And people, we had articles where people, the liberals are going to psychologists. They can't handle it. They're going to crack. all lies. Remember what this was like? It's just a montage of some of the lies.
Russia hacking the election to elect Trump is the end of our democracy. Votes were definitely affected. Russia hacked the election to tilt it to Mr. Trump.
The Russians definitively hacked the election.
Right.
Russia did hack the election.
No doubt. The Russians hacked the election.
Yes. Russia hacked the election.
Fact, Russia hacked the election.
President-elect Donald Trump still not sounding convinced that Russia hacked the election.
If you can get him to accept that Russia hacked the election, see if you can get him to accept who won the Civil War.
The director of national intelligence, the head of the National Security Agency, the head of the FBI, all of these intelligence experts saying Russia hacked the election.
The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, I mean, they've all said this. So to believe that that's wrong, you have to believe they're all involved in an elaborate conspiracy to get Donald Trump.
They were. Newsbusters, you should see this. Networks is liberal fake news, gives 1,000 times more coverage to the Russia probe at the time than the Gabbard bombshell. Unsurprisingly, they rate ABC, CBS, NBC, which spent 2,284 minutes salivating over every turn, devoted a total of 2 minutes and 17 seconds to Gabbard's disclosures. Now, here's the thing. They're coming after Gabbard. They're saying she's confused. But they're ignoring the fact that the CIA director, John Ratcliffe, also put a criminal referral into the DOJ for John Brennan. There's two, not one. John Brennan's the ex-CIA member. They're just pretending that didn't happen, I guess. Making Tulsi Gabbard out to be a ding-a-ling in the 2 minutes and 17 seconds they're spending on this. Folks, this country has one major problem, and it is the mainstream media. You fix that however you fix it, and X is going a long way on this. You fix it all. We won't have any problems without these lying hacks. God help us, y'all. Mankami is catching on like wildfire. The worse the stuff that comes out about him, the more the left loves him.
To New York City we go, and the latest polling.
Here we go.
To New York City we go, and the latest polling shows Zoran Mamdani, the Democrat candidate for mayor, is massively in the lead. The question, who would you vote for mayor? Mamdani received 50%. Cuomo, Sliwa, and Adams combined have less than that, with Mayor Eric Adams, the incumbent, with just that 7%, less than the Republican candidate. So there's a New York Times article titled "Anybody But Mamdani: Five Groups Emerge to Raise Millions in Attack Funds." It goes on to say real estate titans and financiers are forming super PACs to try to defeat Zoran Mamdani. Some organizers say that they won't succeed unless Mayor Eric Adams or former Governor Andrew Cuomo drops out. So what do you think is going on here, Aaron? The thinking among some is that even with all the money in the world, Zoran Mamdani is going to win unless another candidate drops out, because right now all the other three are splitting the vote.
That's true. And this outside money could play an important factor, because as we've seen historically, television ads are still the best way in politics to deliver a message. So that kind of money going into a very expensive media market in New York City could help move voters. But even if Cuomo and Adams dropped out, that's still not of enough of a coalescing to be able to beat Mamdani at this point.
Mankami's a problem. Folks, I'm telling you, our side, and I am part of this too, looking forward to see the mess he makes of New York. It's going to be an absolute unmitigated disaster. I mean, to the point where I think you're going to have a massive exodus of police officers, a massive inflow of cartel and hardcore third world gang members who are not anything like our Bloods and Crips. They make those guys look like the welcome wagon. And we're going to laugh, we think, and we're going to beat, and we're going to roll over. I'm here to tell you, there was a Rasmussen poll 2 days ago. I trust him. He nailed the last election. He pulls likely voters. Americans' opinion of Republicans and Democrats was dead equal. They will get power again. And if they see Mankami dominating like this, this is your ticket to winning a Democrat primary. There are going to be Mankami clones all over this country. And when they take power again, and they will, Katie, bar the door. And that doesn't even count the American territory we're going to lose. We will lose territory. We're already seeing it in places like Aurora, sections of New York, parts of LA. I'm talking no-go zones, just like they have in Mexico. Folks, you don't want this. You think you do, but you don't want this. And the fact it is that he is only becoming more powerful as the horrible things he said come out, using government power to take people's homes in New York, celebrating communism, sees the means of production is the plan, even if people aren't ready for it, and they love it. Folks, this is scary stuff. He's at 50%. All the others combined can't. I mean, what a mess.